Chapter 11. It was snowing again in Iowa, a steady swirl of snow and wind that turned to slush on the streets and sidewalks and made Quint's garb once again long for a beach. He covered his face on Main Street as if to protect himself, but the truth was he didn't want to speak to anyone, didn't want anyone to see him darting yet again into the post office. There was a letter in the box. One of those letters. His jaw fell and his hands froze when he saw it, just lying there with some junk mail, innocent, like a note from an old friend. He glanced over both shoulders, a thief racked with guilt, then yanked it out and thrust it into his coat. His wife was at the hospital, planning a ball for crippled children, so the house was empty except for a maid who spent her day napping down in the laundry room. He hadn't given her a raise in 8 years. He took his time driving there, fighting the snow and the drifts, cursing the con man who'd entered his life under the ruse of love, anticipating the letter which grew heavier near his heart with each passing minute. No sign of the maid as he entered the front door, making as much noise as possible. He went upstairs to his bedroom where he locked the door. There was a pistol under the mattress. He flung his overcoat and his gloves onto an armchair, then his jacket, and he sat on the edge of the bed and examined the envelope. Same lavender paper, same handwriting, same everything, with a Jacksonville postmark 2 days old. He ripped it open and removed a single page. Dear Quince, thanks so much for the money. So that you won't think I'm a total thug, I think you should know the money went to my wife and children. They are suffering so. My incarceration has left them destitute. My wife is clinically depressed and cannot work. My 4 children are fed by welfare and food stamps. $100,000 should certainly fatten them up, Quince thought. They live in government housing and have no dependable transportation, so thanks again for your help. Another $50,000 should get them out of debt and start a nice college fund. Same rules as before. Same wiring instructions, same promises to expose your secret life if the money is not received quickly. Do it now, Quince, and I swear, this is my last letter. Thanks again, Quince. Love, Ricky. He went to the bathroom, to the medicine cabinet, where he found his wife's Valium. He took 2, but thought about eating all of them. He needed to lie down. But he couldn't use the bed because it would be wrinkled and someone would ask questions. So he stretched himself out on the floor, on the worn but clean carpet, and waited for the pills to work.